Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I'm joined by Pete Zayas. Pete, trade rumors season is upon us. We have made it.
We're here. It's exciting to be part of that from a, like, hey, we need to add pieces to win a championship this year rather than where we've been the last few years.
Yeah, it is a little bit more fun. I didn't think of it that way just because there was so much going on or whatever, but it is a lot more fun to be thinking, all right, we're looking to upgrade now. Mm-hmm. We aren't looking to acquire a future first rounder for Lou Williams.
Right, exactly. Right? Jordan Clarkson and Larry Nance shedding salary for free agency in 2 years, right?
Like, yeah.
We're in it to win it now.
Yeah, that is nice. That shouts to Pete for always figuring out the optimism to look at.
I'm excited, man. Like, it's funny because, like, I get more, like, upset about very small details than I ever have before because mm-hmm. the stakes are high.
Yeah.
And so I don't want that to confuse people to be like, this is an awesome season. And I don't know how it's going to end in the playoffs, but we're about halfway through the regular season and it's been rad. The only small blemish is the record, not small, but record against the elite teams. Right. Mm-hmm. But this has been a kick-ass season so far. And I'm super excited about it. Every element of it. And this trade deadline is yet another one of those.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was writing up the stuff about, and today's show is going to be about Kuzma. It's going to be the trade rumors. We're going to start with talking about, you know, the trade rumor cycle itself. And then we're going to talk about Bogdan Bogdanovic and, or I guess it's Bogdan Bogdanovic. I don't really know. And then Davis Bertans, his name also came up at some point during the day. And then finally, in the third segment, we're going to talk about just in general, whether we think something like this is actually going to go down. But I was writing this stuff up for my Patreon and just kind of keeping an eye on for eye out for it. And, you know, as I was writing, there seems to be, I think the biggest disconnect maybe in professional sports right now is the idea of Kuzma's value and his actual value.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of want to start there. And I guess we'll just really quickly refresh people. Heading into the weekend, Shams Charania first reported that there were teams checking in on Kuzma.
Mm-hmm.
Then during the weekend, Sam Amick doubled down on that report and said that the Lakers are now listening to those trade proposals. Mm-hmm. That was there's a important difference there. And then finally, this afternoon or yesterday's afternoon, by the time you guys are listening to this, Mark Stein reports that, hey, one such team that might be interested in the Lakers is the Sacramento Kings, or they're interested in Kyle Kuzma. The Kings might be, and they know that negotiations would start with at least Bogdan Bogdanovic,
mm-hmm.
which made me laugh, frankly, because Bogdanovic is pretty clearly the better player right now. So
yeah, and Jason Jones, who's a beat reporter for the Kings, came out and said, like, that's a non-starter, right? Like, Kuzma plus filler for Bogdanovic is not something. So basically what you're getting is,
did you see though, all the beat reporters use the exact, because there are a few beat reporters who kind of echoed Jones's sentiment, and they mm-hmm. all use the exact same language. So it was like somebody from the Kings basically mass texted all the beat reporters, No, we are not doing this. I promise it's not us. So you go ahead, though.
No, I mean, that's, I think the first question that's interesting is, where is this coming from? Because for Shams, for Stein, for Amick, all of them to have kind of different Kuz is available type stories is telling, right? Is this the Lakers kind of just sending signals out to the league and kind of kicking the tires on this, which a couple of them have framed it as exactly that.
Yeah.
Or is it, you know, the kind of, what's the genesis, right, of like, why then, why now? Or are they just trying to put it out there like, hey, Kuzma is available. Like, we're not looking to trade him necessarily, but if you got offers for him, make him, because he's on the market.
Yeah. I was kind of laughing. Remember, this was after Christmas. Remember Joe Vardon wrote that article after the Christmas Day game saying, and again, Vardon is about as closely connected to LeBron as it gets, right? Him and McMenamin are the two that you kind of think of and go immediately there, and Windhorst, obviously. And he did the, he basically said that the Lakers might want to consider selling high on Kuzma. So that kind of that was the first blip on the radar for me. And then, you know, it just kind of continued to that ball got rolling, the momentum continued, and now here we are with specific names potentially being attached to him. But I think this has to be pointed out, like, before we get into any specifics about anything else, just how high the Lakers are on Kuzma. Because it's incredible.
Yeah, I think, like, when we talk about what the Lakers are or what the Lakers think, I don't always think it's one, like, that can mean a lot of things.
Yeah, there are multiple people in the room.
Right. Like, you know, Jeannie has always been, you know, very high on Kuz. I'm curious, what does LeBron think of Kuzma at this point? Like, LeBron is trying to win a title.
Yeah.
And LeBron is...
You know how he feels about his trainer.
Right. Well, yeah. And that I'm sure factors into it. But more than anything else, like, LeBron doesn't have time to mess around. And, like, Kuz is probably the player who's most impacted by Rondo's poor performance as a shot creator. But Kuz has also not played particularly well outside of when you factor that in, right? And so at what point does LeBron's patience run out? And if LeBron's patience runs out, and if Pelinka is on board with that, is Jeannie going to be like, no, you can't trade him? Or are they going to go and try and win a title? It would be against, you know, a lot of the things that I know about the Lakers and how they operate if they weren't chasing this title right now and if Kuz was off of the board. But you are right that a very important faction, at the very least, within the Lakers is very, very high on Kuzma, and that's got to be factored in.
Yeah, I think generally speaking, LeBron likes veterans, right? Like, that's
veterans win, man.
Yeah, and so I think, you know, I think this was his approach last year too, with and to a greater extent, where it was like, all right, I'll see what these what these kids become over the course of the year or in the first part of the year, and we'll see where how I feel about them as we go along. And then eventually he did the MJ meme, fucking kids, you know, and you know, the efforts to land Anthony Davis started.
Right, but that lands Anthony Davis, right?
Right.
Like, that's a different equation. Like, yes, of course you trade what you need to trade for Anthony Davis.
Yeah, that was straightforward.
This is a little bit of a different calculation here.
This feels a lot more like, I don't care what veteran, or like, no, it's not that he doesn't care, but he wants a veteran in Kuzma's spot because that production is more predictable. The irony here is that, like, the production across the board for the Lakers this year hasn't been very predictable. It's not just Kuz.
For sure. It's also like Kuz is having kind of a long tryout for this. And I think just probably several factors, right? Like the trainer thing. I don't like getting into, oh, this guy's chasing clout on social media type stuff, but it does, like, I understand why Kyle Kuzma rubs some people the wrong way. And when that's combined with, like, 2 out of 5 games being good and 3 being meh to bad, like, that ain't gonna cut it. And
that's,
is this gonna get
them.
Right. And is it going to get better come playoff time when the games get harder and the stakes are higher? I'd love to see Kuz alongside a competent playmaker, but by the same token, he hasn't been that great alongside LeBron this year. He was much better last year. Now he can get that back, of course, but for whatever reason, like, the clock is ticking, man. Like, he doesn't have time to, like, I mean, he's got a little bit of time to figure it out, but it's not that much. And I think that these rumors are kind of a function of, like, hey, like, if you're not the guy that's going to get it done, we're going to find somebody who does. And he just hasn't gotten it done to the degree they need him as of yet.
Yep. All right, let's take a quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about Bogdan Bogdanovic specifically and Davis Bertans specifically. And if we have time at the end of the segment, we'll talk about some other names that, you know, would be interesting that the Lakers could possibly net for Kyle Kuzma. So I think most Laker fans know Bogdanovic as that dude who hit that crazy step back 3-pointer to beat the Lakers in Sacramento last year. That's just about the extent of most casual Laker fan's understanding of Bogdanovich. But let's just generally describe what kind of player he is.
Bogdanovich is a high-end three-point shooter. He's a high 30s, low 40s guy historically in his career. He's a pretty good passer. He's a three or four assist guy per game. He comes off the bench this year for the Kings. He's been one of the few guys whose three-point percentage hasn't cratered under Luke Walton. That's been an interesting thing about Luke, is that
that's how you know, like, you're special.
Right. He's right. He's really bad on three-point shooters. We were cracking up about this on Twitter the other day. He's a really good playmaker. He's a good playmaker. He's a really good shooter. Mm-hmm. He's below average defensively, but he's got decent size.
He's like 6'6"-ish or so.
Like 6'5", 6'6", somewhere mm-hmm. in there. A solid build, but, you know, I think he's a weight room optional guy. He's not exactly cut, right? But
kind of reminds me of Powell's body type.
Sure, for sure. Like he's an athlete for sure. Just he's not the first one.
It's not that kind of athlete. Right.
So I would do the deal in an instant.
Yeah.
He's a guy that I've long really liked him. He's great in international play in, like, kind of higher stakes games. That's one of the things that we don't factor in, I think, enough.
Yeah.
Like, we're going to talk about Davis Bertans, for example. I don't have much of an opinion either way on Bertans, but, like, killing it for Washington, like, or some other, like, very bottom feeding team. Like, I need to have seen you do that elsewhere. He had some moments with the Spurs, Bertans did, but Bogdanovich's international experience kind of tells me, like, when the pressure gets ramped up, he will still be there. And that's not true of everybody. Mm-hmm. So, overall, I really like Bogdanovich. He's a better player right now than Kuzma is, but, I just don't know if I tend to believe those reports from the Kings side of things that they're like, it's just him. We're not going to do it.
Right. I'm pretty sure. I don't know if I touched on it. Now that I'm thinking about it, I'm not positive I did, but right after Stein's report, 5 minutes later or so, you got Amick, who is as tied to the Kings as there is amongst national voices in
the NBA.
That's
a good point. Forgot about that.
He is very closely tied to the Kings. He went out there and said, they are not as worried about his restricted free agency, which is a huge point here. That's why they would be trading him at diminished value for Kyle Kuzma, is because they would be potentially nervous about paying him whatever offer he gets this upcoming offseason, because he is going to get paid. He is going to get paid this year. So as soon as Stein's report comes out, about half hour later, you get the report. Actually, while I was summing up the stuff for Kuzma, we got the report from Amick saying, from the King side of things, now it would probably take more than it. Not only was it phrased poorly, maybe from Stein's end of things, when he said that it would start with Bogdan and other stuff potentially for Kuzma. No, the Kings are saying it would probably take Kuzma and stuff to get Bogdanovich, which and by stuff, we don't mean contract filler, because it would have to be, you know, Kuzma and Cook or Kuzma and Bradley. It would be Kuzma, Cook and or Bradley plus, you know, second rounders down the line or Talen Horton Tucker, whatever it would be, some young piece alongside Kuzma would probably be necessitated in this deal. I also wanted to say regarding Bogdan, the Lakers have, you know, let's say Darren Collison doesn't happen, which I would be surprised if Collison didn't happen. I just think it makes too much sense for everybody involved. But let's say it doesn't happen. That makes Bogdanovich's skill set all the more important, because he has some of that creative ability that the Lakers don't really have elsewhere, as evidenced by the last few games when they get leads and then give them up, because there's no other creator when LeBron sits in garbage time.
Yeah, if they don't get Collison, though, I think that they'd be wise to try to get a legit point guard for Kuz. Because, Bogdanovich is a good passer for a two guard, for a shooter type of guy. He's not the guy that you, hey, give him the ball, let's create some offense, right? I think they, like we saw Rose last night into the basket over and over again and getting blocked on some of those, but he was offensively the main reason the Pistons were in that game. And that Right. And that's the type of guy that if we don't get Collison, I think that's more important. But if we get Collison and you get a Bogdanovich, like, bro, that's that's a 9-man rotation right there. That's a championship caliber team. I just don't see this being particularly likely.
No, Bertens I see is more likely just because I think he's more attainable. But I wouldn't be as thrilled with landing Bertans as I would be. I would be through the moon if the Lakers landed Bogdanovich. I really like his game. And like you said, the big game moments. And, you know, I joked at the beginning of the segment about Bogdan hitting that three to beat the Lakers last year. But the willingness to take that shot. Hell, there might be a moment where he looks off LeBron.
Mm-hmm. We need guys like that.
We do.
We need guys like that. We're not going to be like, oh my God, holy crap, it's game six and there's 2 minutes left and it's tied. Please don't pass me the ball. Like, there, a lot of guys are like that. And I don't think Bogdanovich is one of those guys. And the one last, go ahead.
Well, I was also just going to quickly say that LeBron would respect him more because he's 27 years old.
Absolutely.
So go ahead.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the one thing Eric Pincus always talks about this, and it cracks me up because he's right, because this is true in basketball and in life, is that, like, assuming that teams are going to do the logical thing is like you may be giving people too much credit for that, right? Like, if we're talking about the freaking Sacramento Kings too, right? Like, if the Kings were logical, they don't fire Dave Yeager and replace him the next day with Luke Walton. Like, Luke Walton is like this hottest coaching commodity on the market, you know. And so they may have made, like, you take Luka Doncic instead of Marvin Bagley, if you're logical. Like, they have made a lot of moves. They're like, what in the world are they thinking? Right. So I would just not close the door to the possibility of the Kings doing something supremely weird.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. And to be clear, I'm not here saying that Stein reported the initial report poorly. I don't mean that at all. I think it's just as likely that Stein heard through multiple avenues, because that Stein's a really good reporter. He's one of my favorite ones in the industry. And as evidence, while all the stuff was going on with Anthony Davis, he was the first guy to just kind of raise his hands and say, I don't know what the hell is going on.
Right.
I really like that. So if Stein is reporting something, I think it's a legitimate report with multiple sources being involved in the report. And I think it's just as likely that, yes, the Lakers probably leaked this and they're trying to gauge what the value of Kuzma is out there in the market. And then I think it's also just as likely that a faction of the Kings said that, yeah, this is something that we're thinking about doing. Ownership, for example, right? Look, Bogdanovich is a really good player, and he's going to help a good team wherever he lands if he does get moved. He also probably doesn't move the needle in ways that ownership really cares about, and that's something that Kuzma might do. So if you're like a minority owner with the Kings, and you're saying, all right, we can move this guy for this other guy who a lot of people love tweeting about. He's one of the more marketable guys. You reunite him with his old coach and blah, 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 blah. Right. I think it's just as likely that Stein got his stuff from the Lakers and got his stuff from a faction of the Kings. And then the smarter faction of the Kings was like, what the hell?
This is what I mean, right? Like, when you say the Kings, it doesn't mean one person, right?
Yeah.
And they're not always on the same page for sure.
Yeah. So, all right. So if we were to rate this, you know, let's rate the players out of 10. In terms of, you know, grading on the scale of players that you could actually get. So, like, in general, Giannis is a 10 out of 10 because he's freaking Giannis, right? But that isn't somebody that the Lakers could get. Now, if you're grading on a curve and you're saying Bogdanovich is a player that the Lakers could potentially land, where would you put him out of 10?
For Bogdanovich?
Yeah.
He's a solid 8 or 9, man.
Yeah.
Like, I'm having...
I agree completely.
I'm having a hard time even really coming up with, I don't know who's going to be on the trade market. Mm-hmm. I don't think there are going to be a lot of big names moved, but I've been surprised before. But yeah, I think that of the guys that you could get for him, that's close to about the best you can do.
Yeah. Bertans probably comes in at about a 6 or 7, 5 or 6.
I wouldn't do that trade, man. Like, I wouldn't trade Kuz just because I like
for a version of Kuz who's looting in a riot.
Right. Yeah, basically. Yeah. Can you imagine Kuz on the freaking Wizards? He'd be averaging 27 a game. And yeah, I'd say Bertans is like a 4.
4.
now.
I'm fine with that. All right, let's take another quick second here. When we come back, we're going to talk about the likelihood, not just of these deals, we'll keep on touching on that, but also in terms of the likelihood that Kuzma gets moved at all, because this is, I think, something that I'm not positive people quite understand is how tough it's going to be to move Kuzma. So we've already touched on how much the Lakers like Kuzma, right? Or portions of the Lakers like Kuzma. I don't think there's anybody in the organization who doesn't like Kuzma, other than maybe LeBron's camp. I don't think they're particularly thrilled with Kuzma and his trainer. I do think, though, in general, the Lakers are higher on Kuzma than most teams are high on their players or players that they drafted. Would you say that's fair?
Yeah, my overall takeaway of, like, Laker fans are probably too high on Kuzma.
Yeah, that's
NBA. Sure. NBA fans are too
Christian,
low on
if you're
Kuzma.
Listening.
And NBA fans are too low on Kuzma, and there are a few teams, like, the opinions mixed amongst NBA front offices. Great thing is, what is your market value? It's not what the average team would pay you. It's what one team would pay you, right? And so the opinions of Kuzma are varied enough to where it wouldn't surprise me at all if there are a handful of teams in the NBA who are like, yeah, that guy can be our second best scorer or mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah, I'd roll with that. I think it's also worth pointing out here, though, as I said at the end of last segment, how tough it's going to be to move Kuzma. And I think it's for two reasons. One thing, he's super duper cheap. And mm-hmm. the types of players, now there's inherent value in Kuzma's contract. That's the thing that I don't think people, like when people kind of mock Kuzma's value, I think what they tend to overlook is not just some of the stuff he does from a basketball standpoint, but his contractual value, which mm-hmm. is really important to point out here. He is making $1 million and change this year. It's going to be closer to $2 million next year. And then he becomes a restricted free agent. And at which point, I don't think he's going to net some incredible, like, he's going to be under team control probably for the next 4, 5, 6 years, I would say.
Right, right.
And go ahead.
Now, well, how much do you want to pay him is one thing on that, right? Because you've only got him cheap for a year and a half. And just if I can just
go for a
point real quick on the perception of Kuz, it's like people are, like, non-Laker fans are extremely sick of the amount of attention that the Lakers get. And this is their first time experiencing on, like, full-fledged NBA Twitter, the good Lakers.
Yeah.
So they are, like, they're very sensitive about. And so anything like the guys that we traded out already, Lonzo and Brandon and all them dudes, like, it's amazing how opinion has, you know, it changes so quickly when they're not Lakers anymore. Right now, mind you, Brandon in particular has gotten a lot better as a shooter. So it does merit, you know, an improved perception of him. But NBA fans are very, very frustrated with how much attention we get and are going to get. So my point is, keep voting for Alex Caruso into the All-Star game.
Especially now that he wears the bald eagle and he does the discount double check on his forehead.
Yes.
We need more of that. Give me more of that. Let Alex dunk too. regarding Kuzma's contract and how tough that is to move, that means, therefore, that the Lakers now have to offer additional contracts in order to match up. So just as we saw with Bogdanović, if the Lakers are going to acquire Bogdanović, it's going to involve including Quinn Cook, which now Cook is, I believe, a free agent next year. So it's just extra. It's just money this year, isn't he?
He's got a player option, so it was a two-year, $6 million deal, and considering he's not playing at all, he'll probably opt into that.
I would probably say so, too. So for Kyle Kuzma, even while he has contractual value, he comes with contractual value. The guys that he's going to be attached to, less so. So that makes it kind of tough to gauge what the overall value is there. And then, you know, the other thing, too, is it's hard to trade for contractual value. It's you know, when the production doesn't necessarily back it up. From a production alone standpoint, Kuzma probably doesn't deserve to be in the discussions that he tends to find himself in. If we're just grading off of just sheer production, I would probably say, yeah, I think in terms of sheer production, he is pretty overrated. But does that improve if he's in a more ideal situation? And if that improves under a more ideal situation while he's already contractually valuable, then there's the reason why teams would be interested in him. But that's still hard to sell if you're looking to trade for the kind of, I don't want to say game changer, but the type of asset that the Lakers are looking to land for Kuzma.
Yeah, I mean, what type of player could the Lakers be getting, like, even more theoretically than these specific reports? Yeah. Like, what would be the type of guy that we need? Like, I would argue that despite his struggles, a guy who can get a bucket, a guy who can score 14 points in 3 or 4 minutes the way he did against the Clippers, mm-hmm, on a team that doesn't have a ton of shot creation, and Darren Collison would not change that. He'd be a massive improvement over our current backup, but like, they'd still need some, like, who gets a bucket off of the bench? Mm-hmm. Collison's okay as a scorer, not really Caruso, not really KCP. Those guys are dependent upon other guys, like
Kaelin, somebody who, Horton Tucker.
Right. So I do think that Kuz, even in his current role, has value. So, like, what's the type of guy? Let's say we get Collison. What is the type of guy that's worth making this move for?
Well, let's instead of kind of naming guys or even describing players, we did that whole, you know, grading out of 10 scale the last segment, right? Mm-hmm. So if Bogdanović is about a 9, and that's a no-brainer probably, right? Mm-hmm. So how low down that scale would you go? What kind of player would what kind of grade would that player have to garner in order to move Kuzma for you? Would it have to be like a 7.5, an 8?
Yeah, 6.5 or better. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of, do you think there are going to be many instances where a 6.5 or better would be available out there? I think it's going to be a tough trade market this year.
What do you think of Robert Covington? He's a guy on the market.
His injury history worries me a little bit. Mm-hmm. Tremendous contract, that's for damn sure. Mm-hmm. Like, really, really good value there. And in terms of the kinds of things that he would do, like, he's the kind of big wing defender that the Lakers kind of desperately need. But I don't think he's going to be worth what some team is going to give up to land him.
Okay. So you think the market will be too competitive so that Kuz is not, like, okay.
Well, because here's the reason why I think it's going to be a tough trade market is that there are a lot of teams that, if they aren't convinced they are title contenders, there are a lot of teams that are convinced they can make the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm. There are only, like, what do you think, 3 or 4 maybe teams that are that just know right now they aren't making the playoffs?
Yeah, it's because the bottom of each conference, or like the eighth seed, is so awful. Bad, right? Like, Duncan Smith, who covers the Detroit Pistons, was cracking me up that after who made a trade recently, I forget who it was. Anyway, he was like, "We're going to be the first 25-win 8 seed in the NBA in NBA history."
I think that was after Jonathan Isaac got hurt.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah.
But that's the thing, though, is that that's going to, a lot of these teams are going to, now some of those teams are going to fall off over the course of the season, and some teams are going to say, "Well, does it really matter as much if we get ourselves, excuse me, if we can somehow win ourselves the 8 seed in a conference or in the first round where we're going to get obliterated by either the Lakers or the Bucks? Like, is that something we even want to really fight for?" So yeah, some teams are probably going to fall off, but I don't think it's going to be enough to support the kind of trade market that a season that features this kind of parity at the very top is usually going to need. And that's also going to be a factor here, is that there's a lot of teams that are going to say to themselves, Robert Covington's going to win us a championship. Mm-hmm. Keeping Andre Iguodala away from the Lakers is going to make it more likely that we're going to win ourselves a championship. And I think that's going to make it really tough. And that's why, frankly, I think it's really early for these Bogdanović rumors to be popping up, because he's going to be a name that probably pops up at some point too.
Yeah, and that's a great point, man, about, like, there are a lot of different teams that can talk themselves into a lot of different, this is the guy that puts us over the top. We're talking about that, about Darren Collison, who's a fine player, right? I think, actually, you know, of course I do, but, like, they're so bad at that, that having, like, a, hey, that's an average, above average guy there. It's just such a massive upgrade that it matters. But there are going to be a lot of teams. Like, if the Clippers are going to be in the market for a big, the Bucks, you know, what would the Bucks be looking for? I'm not sure. Maybe another guard. I don't know. They'll probably
I think they could use another guy who can get himself a shot.
That's a good point. Yes. The Rockets are definitely looking for a wing. They're a team that I think will be in the Covington sweepstakes for sure. So, yeah, man, and all of those teams, this is a good year to be a seller, right?
Yeah.
Because those teams are going to be competing with each other. You got Iguodala out there too, which teams are going to compete over. Crowder. Denver's probably going to get involved somehow. They've got a lot of guys that they can make a 2-for-1, 3-for-1 type of deal. So, yeah, and that's a thing that the Lakers need to be careful of too, is to not get too invested so that they give up way more than, you know, than they would have to in another year. But then again, they're trying to chase a championship. So where that line is going to be one of Pelinka's biggest challenges.
Yep, I agree. It's a fascinating subject. It's one that isn't going to go anywhere, and it's only going to get hotter. Like, the fact that I think, I'll say this, the fact that we're hearing about it so early in the season, this might be one of those years where we get a ton of noise and not necessarily all kinds of deals. So you like, the trade deadline is going to happen, and you're going to be like, so like the biggest name moved was a past his prime Derrick Rose?
I think there's going to be a lot of movement for exactly that reason that you pointed out earlier. Many teams are close together.
But that, so we might get a lot of, moves, but it's going to be like, you know, the Roses and the Covingtons, and like those are fine players or whatever. But, you know, last year, the name that was at the center of all the trade rumors and the trade noise was Anthony Davis,
right?
Bradley Beal signed his extension. He's going to be off the table. It's going to be an interesting year. I think there's going to be a ton of noise, and this kind of is kind of setting that off. And we'll try to cover it as best we can, but it wouldn't shock me. Like, I saw a bet today, and I don't remember the numbers exactly, but the bet was basically that would Kyle Kuzma remain a Laker past the February 6th trade deadline? And I think it was -110 that he gets traded. It was plus
really one,
no it was no I had that reversed. It was +150 that he gets traded, -110 that he's on the Lakers.
That's not 50-50 odds, but it's not that far away from that, right? And I don't know, man, I put it more at like 10% that Kuz gets moved. I agree. Yeah, like I would take the no on that bet pretty strongly. But I mean, maybe something pops up and they're obviously kicking the tires on this. That's why Shams and Amick and Stein and all these guys have it all around the same time. But between the contract stuff and what the Lakers need on this roster, I think Kuz gets moved if they don't get Collison.
Yeah. That's a good point.
And maybe they know. Maybe they know that either way, and so they're looking. But as of right now, I'd be surprised if he got traded.
Yeah. If you're moving Kuzma, questions about his production and about him as a player aside, that is still a pivotal part of their rotation that they would be trading away. Mm-hmm. And I don't think you do that when you have a 4-game lead in the Western Conference.
Right.
So I think they're more focused on making moves on the perimeters, see what else can be done either on the buyout market or whatever. But yeah, I would probably bet pretty heavily that they don't move Kuzma. All right, that'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. Fun one here. It's going to be a fun season. We got plenty of stuff to keep up with. The Lakers are back in action tomorrow, or tonight by the time you guys are listening to this. They play the Knicks. Please, just give us one blowout. Like, just one time. It'd be nice. And what's funny is I don't even care anymore. I don't have to do recaps anymore, so that's kind of nice. But, like, just give me one blowout so I can kind of tune out for a half, and LeBron can ice his knees for once. We will be back to talk about that after that game, though. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Vlad, I pulled the trigger.